In the Gospels this week, we've been having a series of annunciations. We had the annunciation to Joseph, which happened in a dream. An angel came and spoke to Joseph and told him of God's plan. Tonight we have the annunciation to Zechariah, where Gabriel comes and tells him of God's plan for him and his wife Elizabeth, that they would conceive a child after they had been childless and now were quite advanced in age, and this child of course would be John the Baptist, who would be the immediate precursor of Jesus. Tomorrow we have the annunciation of Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And one of the things that struck me at one point in looking at these two, the Annunciation to Zechariah and the Annunciation to the Blessed Virgin, is that once this plan has been announced to them by Gabriel, Zechariah and the Blessed Virgin ask about the same question. They say, how can this be? How is this going to come about? And even though they ask the same question, Gabriel's reaction is very different. It's interesting, Gabriel is very patient with the Blessed Virgin and explains to her how this is going to come about. Well, tonight, I tell you what, Gabriel gets all like, I don't know what, with Zechariah. He goes, I am Gabriel who stand before the face of God, and you ask me this question, and because you've asked this question, you're going to be mute until this child is born. Woo! He was like, Gabriel's in a bad mood that day or something. No, angels don't have moods. But anyhow, that's bad theology. But what gives with that? What's up with that? Same question, very different response. Well, as we heard in the first reading tonight, and we've been talking all through Advent, how very often what you have in the readings in Advent are a prophecy in the Old Testament or a prefiguring in the Old Testament, and then a fulfillment in the New. And that's very much what we have here. We have in the Old Testament reading another annunciation, the annunciation of the birth of Samson. So Samson, the one of the, the great judge and hero of the, and it's very interesting because if you just took the names out of it, it's almost exactly like the birth of John the Baptist. I mean, just almost down to little details, This couple that are older, that have never been able to have children, are going to miraculously conceive this child, and then he's going to do all these great things and live this very austere life, all this sort of thing. It's very interesting. So what Gabriel was announcing to Zechariah was wonderful. It was good news, and it was miraculous, but it wasn't new. God had done this before, and not just with Samson. The birth, for example, of Samuel came about in much the same way. This is something that's in God's playbook, okay, with his people. It wasn't new. And Zechariah, being a priest, should have known it was nothing new. He should have been able to answer his own question. How is this going to come about? Well, it's going to come about exactly the way it came about for Samson. And you know that. So in a way, that question of Zechariah's was a lack of faith or trust in God. You see? Whereas tomorrow, in the gospel tomorrow, although Mary asks the same question, this is about the prophecy that's interesting, takes this twist and turn, but that comes from Isaiah ultimately, but Isaiah through its translation into Greek, where it is, and the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. That's something new. God has never done that before. And so Gabriel says, well, I'll tell you, Mary, how this is going to happen. Because it betrayed no lack of faith on her part to ask how this would happen. Because God had never done it before. Nor has he done it since. She has this unique role to play in the history of salvation. And this is one of my pet peeves. I have several little pet peeves, but unique, you can't be sort of unique or very unique. Or either something's unique or it's not, okay? Unique means one and only, you know? If something's unique, it's unique, and that's it. And the Blessed Virgin's role in the history of salvation is unique. No one else was ever asked to do what she did, ever. Or will ever be asked to do what she did. And so she is this great model of faith, always has been. So we are much more in the position, though, of Zechariah, actually. We know the whole story, don't we? Or we ought to. We even know more of the story than he did because we know all about Jesus, right? And what Jesus did. We know the end of this story. And so we need to trust God. We need to believe him. And we need to take this great advice that the Blessed Virgin gives us in her last words that she ever speaks in sacred scripture that happened actually pretty early on at the wedding feast of Cana, where she says, do whatever he tells you. And we can do that on good authority. Hers. And but let's not fall in the trap of Zechariah and doubt what we should know. We know what Jesus Christ has done. We know. And so whatever God asks of us, we should be like Mary and just say, fiat, yes, be it done unto me according to thy word. And not kind of hem and haw like Zechariah, you know, and kind of, or other characters that are sort of like that. And so let's take that radical challenge of faith and set out on this adventure of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ.